Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's session in the Fun Context. We're working with transforming all of the combo emotions: overwhelm, shame, apathy, guilt. Can throw in a few others there, but those are likely the most common ones. For today, I'm going to invite you to get nice and comfy cozy if you haven't already. Make your way to a spot where you can be either sitting or laying, and make any adjustments if you're already there. And as you settle in, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to drink in life, to receive, to invite in. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space, and to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that, to drop into that just a little deeper and to drink it in, appreciating it, breath by breath. And then on purpose, I'm going to invite us to find something else to drink in and to savor. I'm going to invite you to either look outward or inward, whichever one feels right for you. And as you do so, looking for anything in particular that's pleasant, easeful, beautiful, maybe even something neutral. And letting your gaze land on that. And when you have that in your awareness, noticing what it is you like the most about it. Continuing to appreciate and savor all the goodness that's here, and to breathe with it, to breathe into it. As you drink that in, I'm going to offer my thanks, and I'm going to invite you to notice how that feels inside of you, noticing anything in particular that feels good that's happening in here alongside of that all, and taking time to savor and appreciate that too. Thank you for being here, and thank you to all that's gone in into this sweet opportunity for us to all connect together in these ways. Thank you to each and every one of your families, to your ancestors, to your lineages. And thank you so much, thank you so very much to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished and sustained all of those that have come before, that have made it possible for us all to exist and be here together today in this way. And thank you for all that that will continue to offer for those to come. We give deep, deep gratitude. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. And as we settle in for today, we're actually starting off in the sixth house. The sixth house is that of, actually it's related to the sign Virgo, and it's the house of being in service to ourselves, being in service to our health, being really practical about it, being able to offer reassessments, and being able to use our intellect, our awareness, our discernment to really reflect on and to see where energies might best need to be to optimize our service to ourselves. And Virgos tend to have such a deep, deep knack for being able to do that in such a very organized way, logical way. And as we work with this essence of Virgo sixth house, we're actually connecting it into, interestingly enough, the organ, the meridian of the eighth house, which is that of the kidney, and offering the energy of what the kidney does in part, or what the eighth house does, I should mention, which is that of regeneration, to what the kidney provides, which is the ancestral lines and the patterns around how it is we process various different types of fears and how we respond to that, including in this case through the lens of a people pleasing. So I see this as in part supporting the ancestral roots of where the patterns of people pleasing began, where your fond responses began so many generations ago. And we're actually going specifically into dad's side. We don't often think of it being a masculine thing, yet masculine energy is involved in fawning and people pleasing to an extent. And this is very impactful in the men in our in the males in our current times. And where that came from, that seed may have been all the way back into a root. And in this case, we're going back 8 generations, looking at that root of 8 generations past on dad's side. On mom's side, we're going back much further. We're actually going back 13 generations. And as we look at these particular roots, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it definitely worked at the time to get one's needs met, to belong, to fit in, to not be outcast, to be together in community for survival. And at the same time, there was a sacrifice of one's own desires, needs, and it became so commonplace to just ignore that it actually became something that was taught, and whether it was directly or inadvertently, to the little ones. And I continued to perpetuate the cycle all the way through and all the way back. And if we look at that pattern here, we're looking at specifically the influence. This is unique on a spiritual plane, and its impact around this idea setting you up for potentially spiritual beliefs such as, I need to act in such a way in order to please God, Buddha, Allah, the universe. I need to be good in order to receive what it is I wish to manifest from the universe, for example. And you can continue that onwards and outwards and all the different fractal ripples that are associated within those types of roots. And as we work with this spiritual essence, and we're linking it into the very midline of the structures, in particular through the head, including the brain, but all the way through the midline of the entire head. And it's working with a consciousness of trust. What if your head, including your logical left brain and your intuitive right brain alike, could land in a place of being able to simply trust that spirit, that God, that universe, that divinity, whatever the word might be here, is enough, and that it's got you, and that it can hold you. And that maybe you don't actually need to do anything in order for that to happen. What if you didn't need to actually earn or prove that or sacrifice anything? And what if, and just hear me out on this one, what if the need to earn, prove, sacrifice was actually getting in the way of you being able to simply receive that ease, that trust, that capacity to be in flow with the mysterious co-creators of our lives, whatever the word may be for that particular energy field, for that particular concept for you and how you relate to it. As we work with that, we're linking it into the energy of the 11th house. The 11th house is that of the gallbladder meridian, and helps to make decisions. It catalyzes, along with, it helps to take in all of our external inputs, and it organizes it. Much like, well, all things wood elements do, and the gallbladder is very much a wood element. So it actually helps to, almost like a defrag, I think of it that way, in many ways. And as we work with defragging, how it is we're assimilating the external inputs in our lives, meaning all of our experiences, all of our observations, all of our awarenesses, those light bulb aha moments, and how those intertwine for us. How is it we're taking in our new experiences and then having that actually experience, how those experiences, pardon me, catalyze new actions, new steps forwards, new beginnings, as that's what also the gallbladder meridian offers us. And as it does so in the arena of the 11th house, it helps us to step forward into new beginnings in our social world, in our friendships, in our aspirations and our desires in that way. And it also helps to progress us in how we relate to groups, along with how it is we relate to our belief structures. So it's going to set the stage for a fair amount of newness and new capacities to step into those realms here. And to do so, we're actually going to bring in the natural planetary energy that hangs out here, which is that of Uranus, Uranus, however we're pronouncing it these days. It actually brings in the qualities of originality, of being able to envision things in new creative kind of ways that are often out of the box. And it's also really, really good at implementing change, but in a way that is in alignment with intellectual honesty. So it brings in much way that Virgo sixth house energy. And as we tap into it here through this lens, we're also going to simultaneously do a cellular repair. Cool. And it's on a cellular repair on a relationship of four things. It's working with lung 11 acupuncture points, the spleen, the thymus, and the vagus nerve. And if that's a protocol that anyone is, or that combination of things is familiar to you all, you know already that this works with working with anti-inflammation. So it helps to lower inflammation. As we do so, I see it as bringing in new beginnings. If you didn't have the need to be inflammatory or to protect yourself, then inflammation might be physical, it might be mental, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, it might be all of the above. What if we didn't actually need to use that to buffer ourselves against new experiences? What if we could actually open up to receive that? As we work within that, we actually need to release a series of emotions. It's as if all that inflammation that we're running the cellular repair on for all those things, the spleen, the thymus, the vagus nerve, and lung 11 acupuncture points, is supporting the body in. Oh, my brain just took a left turn. Hang on, menopause brain. It's supporting the body as it doesn't need potentially that same level of buffering of protection in order to move forward. What if there was another way to be able to embrace the new things through openness that actually made it more possible to manifest your aspirations, manifest what's in alignment with your awareness around your beliefs that might be different and new? And what if you actually had permission to act on that? And what if you didn't have to just think about it and then try to fit into regular society, normal ways of being that are accepted in our world through mass consciousness? What if you actually got to act in alignment with everything that you believe and you could honor as true within yourself? Simply put, what is it to be authentic? What is it to be authentic in linking together your awarenesses and your actions? And as we work within that, releasing the emotions of guilt that I don't deserve to do that, along with overwhelm around the preconceived ideas that that's going to be potentially challenging or really too much to bear. Releasing apathy, like I better not risk it, better not to go for it. And then as well as that, any underlying anxieties related to that. And also releasing any particular compulsions or behaviors that are repetitive that you use to manage your anxiety. In those ways, it's like, before I do anything new, I have to go through 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever it might be, of evaluating everything and being really concerned and worrying about things. And what if you actually got to do that in a different way? What if that actually got to just be a little bit easier to how it is you move forward? And as we work within that, we're actually going to run a seed tree on that all, on this entire pattern. And as that continues to run for the next 4 days, we're also going to run a body chemistry, and I'll come back to the seed tree in a moment. Body chemistry, which supports our immune system. We're doing that for the liver, and hear me out on this. We're actually going to do it with the concept of being your own, not worst enemy, but a variation of that, being your own parasites. Being your own parasites. This is kind of tying into some of the work that we did last week as well. Parasites seem to be a bit of a theme lately. Interesting. As we run a body chemistry on that, in particular, it's looking at microparasites, which aren't necessarily like the big tapeworm things that we often think of when we hear the word parasites, but they're little small guys that can colonize in areas and take over areas, like such as the liver or any other organ or space between organs, endocrines, body parts. And here within the liver, as we run the body chemistry on it, we're also going to run hydration on it, helping the body to go with the flow of joy as hydration offers, as well as releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. As it does so, working with the hydration to release the belief system that I must compromise myself. I must compromise myself. And you could fill that in order to be accepted, liked, in order to be valued, in order to be successful, in order to make it through in this world. You could finish off that sentence in a variety of different ways, and they're all here. We're working with all the variations that are applicable for each and every one of you in this moment. And with that seed tree, running the seed tree, as I mentioned, for the next 4 days, and working with circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system alike, and really most of our body mind to heal. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and those endocannabinoids. And, oh, I'm repeating myself, forgive me. I went off on a bit of a tangent there. And also working with, pardon me, the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, of nourishment and protection. And then also bringing in here the balancing of hydration one more time, bringing in water, joy, releasing any impurities around those patterns for this seed tree for the next 4 days. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it just may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration and introspection shift the underlying consciousness. We can think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Now, at the same time as all of that, we are looking at the yang energy and the masculine energy, specifically this idea that your yin energy needs to appease whatever the yang wants to do. And there's this idea that the yin wants to hang on to some of its energy because it doesn't necessarily like what the yang wants to do. And if we can imagine the yin energy within you and the yang energy within you for this particular part, not necessarily all the time, but just for right now, if you can imagine that as being the yin as being like the energy that you got from your mom, and the yang is the energy that you got from your dad. It doesn't actually quite work that way, but this is what I'm seeing play out dynamic-wise. It's as if all the patterns that your mom used to manage your dad and how he wanted to act is playing out through the yang energy, and vice versa, how the yang is responding to that is playing out within the yin energy. And there's this interesting dynamic. And within the yin, there's the energy of being critical to manage things, of being even like judgmental and wanting to make things happen in just a certain way and having lots of really good reasons for it. But underneath it, it's really coming from the attitude of, I have to control what's happening here or else. And then the yang energy feeling very well dominated and controlled and not oh so happy to be having those experiences might have a tendency to retaliate. And then the yin energy in turn plays victim. It goes, well, why would you do that? I'm just here to support us and I'm trying to nourish us and provide all the right energy for you to do what you need to do in all the good ways. And if you keep wasting what I'm giving you, then this isn't going to work. Why would I give you any more energy to do what you want to do when you're just wasting it? I'm just going to keep it over here to myself, which leads to isolation, which leads to shutdown, which leads to disconnect between the two. So if we can imagine that whole dynamic playing out, and you might even have other variations of that that you're present to, that's just one particular very common thread that often plays out in our dynamics between those types of relationships. And linking to that, working with the idea that you have to be weak in order to get your needs met by other people, specifically men. And for the yang energy, this idea that you have to be overbearing, dominant, and trickstery or tricky in order to get your needs met. And as we work with both of those and the dynamics within that all, we're actually linking that through to now the left and right brain, where we can imagine that same sort of story is playing out. And then we're linking it all through to the great mediator of your body mind, the corpus callosum that connects the two halves of the brain, as well as through to the ventricles of the brain. The ventricles of the brain literally form, if we could take them out of your brain and twist them around a little bit, they form the AUM, the OM symbol. So actually working with the energy of OM, which I like to think of as the universal psychologist. It helps us to really transcend that energy of the need to be so time and space bound, or the need to have things play out so tightly. It actually gives spaciousness. It gives a sense of having all the time in the world that we need to allow for that spaciousness to exist. We can also think of it as being present simultaneously to all beginnings, all middles, and all endings, all at the same time. And as we connect to these parts of the brain, bringing in on purpose the planetary energy of the sun, we can imagine infusing the energy of the sun and its warmth and all that it offers in its essence through to these midline structures within us. What is it to receive gentle nourishment, opportunities for growth, and support along the way? As I offer that, I actually see the yin and the yang both begin to take a slow, deep breath and calm down. Same thing's happening for both sides of the brain. And they're able to begin to soften enough that they can actually see one another. They can actually see each other. And that in turn is linking into the 12th house, house of endings, releasing, allowing, surrendering. And then this is so beautiful. I just hear them whisper to each other, I trust you. I trust you. And there's these like little tentative tendrils of connection reaching out and just beginning to dance in this opportunity to begin anew and what it might mean to connect from a place without necessarily needing to compete and dominate, without the need to criticize and control or judge, and without any other of those old patterns that we've outlined at play, but being able to do it from a place of newness, a place of blank slateness, so to speak. And as we do that, it actually gets to, I'm actually seeing like this, these hands molding clay pottery type of thing. I'm just seeing like literally something molding and being formed and being created anew that may have never been here before. So I'm going to invite you to be super curious. How curious can you be here around what it might be like to check out the space between your yin, your yang, your feminine, your masculine, and the energy of trust that gets to now be here. How curious can you be around what it means to come from a place of trust? Beautiful. And then as we work within all of that, I hear another permission statement between, again, the two. And then I just hear the words, and it's as if it's coming from the essence of spirit itself. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It's linking into the heart, and we're supporting the heart, your heart, and connecting to the understanding that it knows that it is worthy of being taken care of, that it's being worthy of being attended to with kindness, with tenderness. And within your heart structures, within the fibers of the actual heart muscle itself, releasing this tendency to respond to being ignored, dismissed, harmed, hurt, and all the overwhelm that you associate from those old experiences that have landed here and been stored between the fibers and the muscle cells themselves. Oh, and all the heartache that's happened and all the heartbreak that's occurred here. Getting to release all the various overwhelms. And related to that, I see both underneath and over top, really interesting. These cold shells of apathy trying to protect you from feeling the extent of that pain that's here in the heart. And we're just beginning to slowly infuse once again the energy of the sun, and also bringing in to balance it out the energy of the moon, bringing in the warmth of the sun, and from the moon, bringing in the maternal love, the maternal tenderness, what it means to be mothered and held by her, along with the warmth of the masculine yang energy of the sun to support, to defrost these areas of coolness. And as it begins to melt away here, what is it to soften just a little bit more deeply into your essence of you, into your sense of self, into your core? I invite you to give that all a slow, deep breath and really take that in. And doing that one more time, one more really slow, deep breath to drink that all in. And as we do that, now releasing any grief related to that from your very breath itself, along with all the respiratory structures, particularly working with the lining of the nasal cavities, all the way down through the throat and into the lungs, but also working with the lining of the sinuses, and any tendencies to grip or hold or control the breath through the musculature of the throat and the mouth alike. And although there's all sorts of other ways that we control and govern our breath, we're working with those particular ones for this piece here. I just see this really like thick black energy in different spots for different folks. And we're just simply releasing that all the way through here now. And as we do that, releasing sadness from, there's a spot just below the clavicle in the midline on the left clavicle, or the left collarbone, just underneath in the midline. And this actually aligns with the energy of love and another system, not necessarily body talk, but more breath work. And as we release sadness from your love line, with it releasing those times that you felt wronged by your loved ones, wronged by romantic partners, wronged by the beloved, by spirit, by God, by the divine energy. Again, pick your word. By spirit, by creator. And all the various protections that have built up in this area, and I see that going all the way through, and I see it working primarily with the protective energies. I'm thinking that as long as you feel guilty enough and shameful enough and worthless enough, that you'll, as long as you like basically ignore yourself and continue to play under or play inferior in some way, shape, or form, that you'll be loved, valued, accepted. And we're releasing that all the way from this area, again, through that middle, just below the left collarbone. And if you can imagine like a line, like almost like a stake being driven right through that, all the way through into the back body, as well as a line going up and over the shoulder to connect to that point in the back body, directly behind the area. Then we're working with those two lines, the one that goes directly through and the one that goes around and over top, and the space in between it all. And as we work within this area, working with the fear of rejection in no small way, the fear of being turned down, the fear of being told no, and that being linked to this understanding that it's because you weren't worthy enough, because you did something wrong, because you weren't guilty or shameful enough. And there's this energy of, I'll just double down, I'll be more guilty, I'll be more shameful. I'll think even nastier thoughts about myself, etc. And then that in turn creates a vicious cycle, a vicious spiral. And as we begin to unhook that through here, I'm going to invite you to make just a little bit of movement with your left shoulder, arm, chest, in any way that feels right for you. I'm just going to do little circles. That feels right for my body right now. You might actually bring in your whole arm. And your arm might move in various different ways. So I'm going to invite you to let that explore through the shoulder, through the arm, however you feel called to. And as you bring in a little bit of movement here, I'm also going to invite you to bring in a little bit of sound. It might sound like ah, voo, oh, mm, ee. As you make that sound, imagine that the sound is coming right from this area that we're working with and right into that area. And as we bring in this vibration of sound, of your sound, it's as if the very sound, the very movement itself sends the message of this permission statement. I care for myself. I care for myself. And I see that as actually a reclaiming. And as we reclaim things, we begin to unshame them. And as you reclaim the desire, the capacity to care for yourself in a different way, it actually releases the underlying martyrdom, victimhood, and blame. How come no one else did this for me? As you begin to parent yourself through that, releasing the need to be parented, loved, held in a certain way, and simultaneously, same thing with our partners, As we begin to partner with ourselves in a certain way, releasing the need to be partnered by somebody else in any particular way. And as we release that need for it, ironically, it almost always tends to show up. It was just our grasping, our clinging, our neediness that was actually holding it at bay, for the most part. There might be more to the story, we'll find out. And as we work with releasing that area all the way through here now, I actually see like the image of a little one waiting to be born. And I just hear them like gathering up their power. I can make it, I can do this. I can make it, I can do this. And then just before babies are beginning the birth process, they actually hit sort of like a max point of growth, of space in the uterus, and they begin to secrete a hormone, and they actually begin and they initiate the sequence of labor. And as babies begin that, as they spark that, they begin to start the process of labor itself, and they might have unexpected consequences. Because it's around that time that all of a sudden the walls start to close in, and babies might go, what the heck is going on? I didn't realize this is what would be happening here. And it feels actually like things are actually getting worse before they get better. And from this space, we're actually releasing from your experiences the belief system that things have to get far worse before they can get any better. Like it always has to be this excessively dramatic, hard thing before there can be any relief. And as you release that particular pattern here from your birthing experiences when you were little and small, also working with the next stages of that, when baby begins to make its way out, it actually begins to hunt for the easy way out. And it does so using the posterior fontanelle, or what will become the posterior fontanelle on the other side of this journey. And it looks for, do I go through the left side of the hip? Do I go through the right side of the hip? So we're actually programmed biologically to find the easy way through things, believe it or not. You're actually wired that way. And we're actually going to link this now to that area that was your posterior fontanelle, or the opening, the space that opens in the bones between the skulls that have to be there in order for the skulls to make its way through the vaginal canal. And as that works its way through there, this, you get to have an easy way out through things now. As we link into this for you, it's then in turn linking into the anterior fontanelle. So there is actually two holes. We often call them the soft spots in babies, and we're usually always thinking of the back one. There's also another smaller one that hangs out closer to the front of the skull in the midline. I'm just finding the consciousness of this particular part here. And as I do that, we're also from here releasing the fear of, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm going to do this wrong. I don't know what I'm doing and I'm going to do this wrong. And we're restoring the, it actually just wants to simply restore the natural consciousness of the anterior fontanelle, which I would liken to saying is giving you some space. I'm getting more information now. Giving you space, but specifically between the sensory and the motor components of your cortical brain. So it actually gives space between those particular regions of the frontal and the parietal brain structures. And particularly in the bones that cover up those areas. And as we work with that, linking it into the eighth house, this time working with the eighth house's energy of death and rebirth, and on the other side of that, regeneration. What is it to be reborn? What if you got to be reborn right here, right now? What is it to be reborn? And what if you got to be reborn right here, right now? And as we work within that region of this anterior fontanelle, working with the permissions, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Defined by the consciousness of confidence itself and linking into the solar plexus chakra. And as soon as I land in the solar plexus chakra, I begin to see this upward cycle, this upward spiral. It becomes this most beautiful fountain of light. And this fountain of light coming up from the solar plexus, up and out, and it begins to expand. I see it radiating outwards and upwards. And if you could imagine it radiating upwards and outwards all the way through your, not just your midline, but all the way through even into the expression of the body mind itself, into the very arms, it would have this sort of a shape to it where the arms would be a V. This shape forming the essence of what it means to be victorious, what it means to be confident, what it means to be strong. And as we work within that, I know what I'm doing. Linking it into, once again, the midline, but this time not just through the head, but all the way through the entire body. Connecting to the energy of self-trust, to the energy of being able to trust what it is to come from your sense of self, your sense of confidence, from a place of getting to do it in an easier way again. And in turn, it's linking into house number nine. House number nine, working with philosophy, religion, intuition, all things right brain. It's also the house of the pericardium, which surrounds the external heart, works with heart protection, sensuality, circulation. If we can imagine this as helping to circulate what's most sensual and desirable for you, what is it to actually get to experience some of that ease, that sense of it gets to feel good here now. It gets to feel good again. Without you having to earn, deserve, sacrifice, or devote in any particular way, it just simply gets to be. And you don't have to earn it. We're actually going to run that as a permission statement here. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to earn it. Now we're going to tap the cell out here, the invitation to again breathe and receive. Giving that a slow, deep breath. And then we're heading into the element of earth itself, the element that I think of as giving rise to our very body, to our very essence of our core, what it means to be here as a human on this planet, and into the very essence of sweetness itself. We're linking it into, again, that eighth house, this time working with, other people's money. I see this is actually grounding into the sweetness of what it means to be in the flow of receiving, giving, providing, taking in abundance, money, financially, along with what prosperity in general represents. And as we work with that, financially as well as metaphorically speaking, we're working with releasing any particular insecurities or doubts that other people shouldn't pay you for what it is you do. Other people shouldn't pay you a fair wage or a fair exchange or a fair trade. That other people shouldn't do that for you, but that you should do that for them. And that belief system actually sets the stage for saying, in essence, I don't want reciprocity. I don't want reciprocity. Meaning, I'd rather give than receive. Yeah, or potentially the other way, I'd rather receive than give. But for most of us, we might think one way, but for the most part, our behaviors tend to be, I'll do it for you, but don't bother about doing it for me in return. And we're releasing any particular pieces of that. And any related particular elements of being undeserving. And it's almost as if it's a way of managing the potential overwhelm of what it might be to actually get what it is you want, as well as to receive the essence of love. So this might be playing out not just financially, but also through partnerships, through relationships, through various different behaviors. What is it when you want to always provide something that you don't necessarily think that you need to receive in advance, or pardon me, receive back to you? And within that, there's often an essence of martyrdom, of victimhood, of wanting to please in that way. And it primarily comes from, as we work with this, going back to your early days of thinking, oh man, these people around me, they do not have what it takes to give me what I need. They just can't do it. And there's all this chaos. So you know what? I'm just going to attempt to calm everything down, and I'm going to abandon all hope around getting my own needs met. Because it's unlikely to ever happen. So I'm just going to give up here and now on that. And we're looking at any particular pieces around apathy that you have given up on, in essence, apathy, giving up, around that all. Okay, and that in turn is linking into now circulation of lymph, specifically within the, itchy nose. Within the endocrines, in particular the thymus and the adrenal glands. The thymus being our essence of our immune system, and working here within the theme of concerns around acceptance. And from the adrenals, working with a concern around rejection. And as if both of these are in such a familiar pattern of stressfulness that it would actually be unfamiliar for the stress to not be there, and which would in turn create a new kind of a stressor, an unfamiliar one. So it's like, better the stress that I have than abandoning that and, you know, potentially risking something totally new that I have no idea how to work with or be with or manage or deal with. I'm just making sense of the image that I'm seeing. I'm seeing a bird with a really big wingspan, like 2 meter wingspan. And so it's a big bird. And it's flying and it's soaring at all sorts of new heights and angles. Okay. And it's actually working with this energy of the capacity to get to coast, to not have to work as hard. So birds, when they fly, and I don't know a lot about the science of it, but what I do know is they catch air currents in such a way that they're actually able just to simply coast and to not work as hard as they might think that they need to if they were constantly moving their wings against, a down current. rather than being able to find just the right way to flow with it. So it's showing the energy of being able to catch the current or catch the flow and being able to accordingly coast. And if I say that, and any part of you cringes a little bit, like, oh, I don't want to coast, I want to keep going at things, then I'm going to invite you to double down on what it is to get to pause and to coast and to simply be. And that actually might open up the space to receive more of what you're looking for with not just greater ease, but with more full abundance. It quite limits things when we're constantly working at it. What is it? It's just simply breathe and receive. And I'm going to invite you to do that now, simply breathing and receiving here as we tap this part out. Oh, big yawn. That part was definitely for me too. I'm going to invite you to take one more slow, deep breath here. We'll just let this part really settle in. And then we're heading into unhooking a bundle of belief systems that aren't yours, never were. And they're actually through dad's side of the family lines. We're going back four generations on an emotional frequency. And it's around shame. And it's around the belief system that the universe will exact revenge. It'll get me back. The exact wording is just simply that. The universe will get me back. And there's this idea of, like, no matter what I do, it's wrong, and the universe will get me back for it. Okay, and that seems to be hanging out predominantly around the back of the tongue, where it hooks in through to the posterior structures of the neck, as well as through C6 vertebrae, as well as the hyoid bone. The C6 vertebrae is near the base of the neck. And the hyoid bone is a bone that's floating within the neck itself, along with the cartilage of the Adam's apple. So it's hanging out in a few spots here around the neck. And here we're also releasing the pattern around saying something's okay when it's not. Saying something's okay when it's not. Which is a particular trait as a Libra, I can speak for this honestly, that is dominant within with Libras. They tend to have neck issues, and it tends to be around that theme of saying something's okay when it's really not. And it's usually done, in particular for Libras, from a place of thinking that that's the way that one should maintain a balance, and that your job is to maintain that balance. And this will play out for you, you non-Libras as well, don't worry. And as we work with that, releasing this idea that you have to be the one to control the balance in your entire world around you. And as we think that, it actually abandons the capacity for us to provide balance within ourselves, and we're putting it all out there versus finding it in here within us. Okay, and as we work within that, freeing up the vagus nerve that stimulates relaxation, rest, digestion. And we're working with it through all the elements. I know I've talked about the polyvagal theory of the vagus nerve. We're working with it just broadly for right now. We're working for its entire pathway, and it often gets contracted or cinched up around the neck regions. And we're releasing it from there as well as through the cervix. in the pelvis, and it ends there. And we have to release it through both the neck and the cervix. Also, simultaneously unwinding the fascia, the connective tissue around the liver, and particularly its influence on all things hormonal. And then we're tapping this all out here. So, invitation to again breathe and receive however feels right for you. And giving that another gentle, slow, deep breath. I've got a song for you. It's by Trevor Hall. And the song is the same name as the album. It's called Gardens. I invite you to simply be right where you are and receive the next 4 minutes of his wisdom. And if it feels right to you, you're welcome to bring in that resource that you found earlier or another one if that seems to be something supportive for you at this juncture. Breathing here, continuing to receive abundantly here.
Let all my gardens speak for me when I'm gone. Sing for me like a song from your heart in your chest.
Dying, honey, I'm already crying for you.
May your gardens continue to bloom in all the beautiful, juicy ways throughout this day, throughout this week. Mwah. All my love, and thank you so much for calling this in. Thank you so much for bringing in all of you, and thank you for receiving this medicine. Mwah, mwah, mwah. All my love to you. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your week. Blessings on your journey ahead. Bye for now, y'all. And if anyone needs any extra support, as always, feel free to hang out for a little bit. Okay. Bye for now, y'all. Oh, you're most welcome. Yeah, you're most welcome.